So Saints, I just have a burden to just emphasize what's being announced regarding the coming weekends. This is a feast.
Amen.
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 From the brothers sharing, this brothers have been praying for this for a long time. And praise the Lord. Now it comes to fruition. And, you know, which means that what? We need to go enjoy, right?
Amen.
The food was prepared. So now we need the saints to go and enjoy.
Amen.
Saints pretty much know the schedule, right? So starting from Friday evening, was it 7:30? 7:30, and then Saturday morning, it will start at 10 o'clock. So it'll be 10 to around noon or 12:30-ish. And then afternoon is open time, and then the next session will start at, in the evening, 7 p.m. And then on the Lord's Day, again, will be 10 a.m. So Friday, Saturday, we'll be in the Queen's Meeting Hall, you know, in Jamaica. The Lord's Day will be in the Queen's College. So for Saints, we are going, plan to stay overnight. If you haven't registered with, you know, you should do it very quick. I don't know if you know, the hospitality is still available. If not, they have also negotiated certain hotels. In fact, there were three brand new hotels open just around between the meeting hall and the Queen's College. So you could also book that if I don't really have the detailed information Brother Ricky mentioned, but if any saints is interested, we can actually find out. Yeah. Just so quickly, if who will actually be going? I think, can we quickly show our hands so we actually know, you know, how many saints will be here on next Lord's Day? Actually, I was
whoever are going either Friday, Saturday, or Lord's Day.
Okay.
Then first.
Yeah. Okay, I would say about a little bit over half, right? And then who will be going on Lord's Day? So I think we still have about maybe half of the saints, right?
Or who will be here?
Oh, okay. Okay, so we have about maybe around 10, I would say. Maybe some saints are still serving. Praise the Lord. So, I think we should we'll fellowship.
So, Lord said, I think, just come if you cannot go. Definitely, we still have we just need to do some special arrangement. Yeah. One thing, especially for those going on Lord's Day to the Queen's College, we were heard if you follow the GPS, it will take you a longer way. Okay, so they will send an email during the week, but we haven't received. So I will just let you know, right now. The meeting place called the Colden Auditorium, C-O-L-D-E-N, Colden Auditorium. So you can still set your GPS, but usually it will tell you to get off from exit 24 of route 495. But if you take that exit, you will look at this auditorium, but there's no entrance from there.
Okay.
So the best way is go out from exit 23, then it will lead you to take a main street, and it's easier to get to the place. Mm. Exit 23 instead of 24.
Amen. So how do you get there without driving? Subway.
You can find. I think it's better to carpool with some other things.
How much is the parking there?
I do.
The parking is free, I believe, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
There are three designated parking lot for us, so I heard it's definitely sufficient. In the Queen's College.
Amen.
How will you for feast?
Hey, amen.
So, last week we covered a few feasts. We covered the Sabbath, we covered the feast of the Passover, and then we covered the feast of unleavened bread.
Amen.
And so this week we have a few more feasts.
Amen.
So how about we read the title together? Week 21. The Feast of First Fruits, the Feast of Pentecost, and the Feast of Tabernacles. Amen. How about one more time, stronger?
The Feast of First Fruits, the Feast of Pentecost, and the Feast of Tabernacles.
Amen. Now how about we read Roman numeral 1 together?
The Feast of First Fruits signifies the resurrected Christ as the first fruits for our enjoyment and the feast in His resurrection.
Amen. So in 1 Corinthians 15:20, it says that, but now Christ has been raised from the dead, the firstfruits of those who have fallen asleep. So in this verse, we see that Christ in His resurrection is the firstfruits. And so, last week we saw the Feast of the Passover, right? And then 3 days later, Christ was resurrected, right? So Christ's resurrection is the fulfillment of the firstfruits, right? And is the reality of this feast. So the first fruits, during harvest, basically the first fruits were the first fruits, what was first reaped, right? And so these first fruits, right, these were offered to God, right? So these were first offered to God. And so this is the first was offered to God. If we see in Christ's resurrection, everyone knows the story with Mary, right? And so Mary was a loving seeker, and she was really desperate, to see the Lord. And so the Lord honors that, right?
Yes.
And then so he comes to visit Mary, right? But he says, do not touch me, right? And so this is because that the freshness of Christ's resurrection, right, is for the Father, right, is reserved for the Father. Actually the first fruits, in Roman numeral 1, right, it says that, the resurrected Christ is the first fruits, is for our enjoyment, right, as a feast in His resurrection. But actually before that, the most important thing is that the first fruits are actually first for God's satisfaction.
Amen.
Right? They are first for God's enjoyment.
That's right.
And so, for us, every day, we need to offer up Christ as the first fruit.
Amen.
To God.
Amen.
For His satisfaction. I think when Brother Ron was giving this message, he said that, many times we enjoy Christ, and then you want to enjoy Christ also to minister Christ to others, right? And that is very, very good. We need to do that. But we need to kind of have a deeper view, right? That first, we need to offer, first God needs to be satisfied.
Amen.
And so once God is satisfied, then these first fruits also become our satisfaction, right? So now the resurrected Christ, Once He satisfies God, now He is in us, right? So this resurrected Christ is in us, and He is supplying us, right? And He is our supply. And so, what do we need to do? What we need to do is that we just need to be open, right? So this is a matter of dispensing. So we just need to be open to this dispensing. And so if we see this word fruit and first fruits, right? What does fruit imply, right? Fruit implies eating,
amen.
Right? So every day, we need to eat, right? We need
amen.
To eat. And there's this matter of laboring, right? Laboring on the good land.
Amen.
Laboring. And what does it mean to labor? Actually, to labor means that we need to exercise our spirit. In the midst of every situation, no matter what is going on, we just exercise our spirit and we turn to the Lord. And then through this, this is actually what laboring is. And then through this, we get, we are able to enjoy Christ as the first fruits.
Amen.
And so really quickly, I'll just touch on point 2. Can we read point 2 together?
the feast of Pentecost was the feast of the 50th day,
counting
the day after the Sabbath, the day on which the sheaf of the wave offering was brought to God, to the day after the seventh Sabbath. So I won't say much on this, but maybe we can just read point C together.
The feast of Pentecost signifies the New Testament believers' enjoyment of the outpour Spirit as the aggregate of the rich produce of the resurrected Christ. The rich produce of Christ's resurrection includes the firstborn Son of God, the life-giving Spirit, the many sons of God, and the new creation of God.
Amen. Right, so the Feast of Pentecost, right, just to reiterate, it signifies the New Testament believers' enjoyment, right, of the outpoured Spirit. And so it includes all these wonderful things that we just read. And so how about we just move on for sake of time, move on to Roman numeral 3. So let's read Roman numeral 3 together.
The Feast of Tabernacles, the last Jesus, signifies Israel's full enjoyment of the restored world creation in the millennium. This feast will usher in the new heaven and the new earth.
Amen. So I just wanted to touch on two key points. Brother Ron gave us two key words, right? The first one is enjoyment. Amen. Right? And we see this word in point E. Right? This is, how about we just read point E together? The Feast of Tabernacles was the Feast of the Gathering.
The feast when the full harvest was brought in. This feast signifies the rich, full, and ultimate enjoyment of all that Christ is.
Amen. So I really like this phrase, ultimate enjoyment.
Amen.
Right? So we need to continue, as I said earlier, we need to continue to labor. Right? Labor on Christ. Labor on this good land. So that our enjoyment, you know, in the beginning, our enjoyment might be very shallow, right? But as we continue to labor, you know, our enjoyment of Christ becomes deeper and deeper, right? And then eventually, you know, we will enjoy Christ, you know, in the ultimate enjoyment, right, of all that Christ is. So we need to continue, you know, every day to continue to labor. And then the other word that Brother Ron gave us, right, was remembrance, right? And then so he talked about the booths. So I don't have much time to get into this, but I was just really touched that, you know, I think the Lord reminded me again that it's so easy to forget, you know, why we are here on the earth, right?
Amen.
And so it's very easy to become set, settled, and occupied. And, you know, maybe you need to take care of, I don't know, you need to take care of school, or you need to take care of your family, you need to take care of work, you know, and these things we all need to take care of. But then we need to make sure that we have the view why we are here on this earth, right? We're not on this earth for these things. You know, although we do need to take care of these things, this is not the main priority, right? The main priority is that we are here for the Lord and for His purpose.
Amen.
And so if we become settled and occupied, then we can just become consumed with all of these other things. So we need to be those who live in booths, right? We need to live the life of the altar and the tent, right, and be open to the Lord, you know, to always be able to follow the Lord, you know. And Brother Ron, one sentence he said that really touched me is that, you know, many saints, you know, have compromised, you know, they've compromised with the world, you know, and so, you know, maybe originally you're really burning, you know, really love the Lord. But then so many different things come in, and then you start compromising, and then before you know it, you know, I don't know, like a while has passed, and you realize, you know, that heart for the Lord, that burning for the Lord, is not quite there anymore, right? And so, you know, we need to, you know, really ask the Lord for His mercy.
Amen.
You know that, you know, we would not compromise in this way, but we would have this heart, you know, to have this living that, you know, we would be sojourners on this earth.
Amen.
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 And so we can maybe open up for sharing. How about we do 2 minutes each?
So I'll follow Eric. So the
amen.
I can't help it. He just
amen.
He mentioned two words: enjoyment and the booze.
Amen.
There are seven feasts, and the feasts are in two groups. The first group, there's four feasts. And the last group, there are three feasts. The Feast of Tabernacles is the very last feast.
Amen.
And there are two other ones that we didn't mention. They're in the last group. Strictly, this refers to the Lord's the second coming. So they haven't been fulfilled yet. But the first group has. So the first group are the Feast of Passover, the Feast of the Unleavened Bread. So that's ongoing. And the Feast of First Fruits. And the Feast of Pentecost. This refers to what Christ in His first coming. So strictly, these feasts have been fulfilled. But there's also a further fulfillment. But I'd just like to touch the word, Eric's word, on enjoyment. So the first feast that we're talking about today is the Feast of First Fruits. So fruits there's a harvest. There's a crop that's growing, and then there's a harvest. This feast is the Feast of First Fruits. The first fruits of this harvest. So there's something there's something growing that Christ, that God wants to have. And so then the first fruits are Christ in His emphasizing His resurrection. In resurrection, there was something produced, something that never existed before. So that He became the life-giving Spirit. He became the firstborn Son of God.
Amen.
And He produced the many sons of God.
Amen.
And also we have, for the very first time in the history of the universe, we have the new creation. So there's something new in the universe.
Amen.
But the point, and He's also the head. He's the head of the body. So we're the body. He produced this in His resurrection. But I'd just like to follow Eric to emphasize the word enjoyment. So also in his resurrection, he along with other Old Testament saints were resurrected, and there was a freshness, and this freshness is for the Father. So he ascended that very day, in a secret way, to satisfy the Father, so the Father could be satisfied.
Amen.
So in His resurrection, He became food to us. Firstly, He became food to God. So he wants, God ate Him. And now, once the Father ate Him, we get to eat Him.
Amen.
So in his resurrection as the first fruits, He became food.
Amen.
We now eat Him.
Amen.
So the main thing we do in all the feasts is to eat the Lord.
Amen.
He's our very food. We get to eat Him and enjoy Him. Amen. And the point is that He now become, by our eating Him, He's our life supply.
Amen.
This way we enjoy Him, and there are the other feasts too.
Amen. Amen.
I'd like to read to you two verses in Leviticus chapter 23:10 and 11. Okay. Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you come into the land which I am giving to you and reap its harvest, then you shall bring the sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest to the priest, and he shall wave the sheaf before Jehovah for
Amen.
Your acceptance.
Amen.
On the day after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it.
Amen.
And I was very, you know, touched by this. On the day after Sabbath. You know, in the Old Testament for Israelites, Sabbath is a big day. You know? Everything happened in Sabbath. Or sometimes we also see, you say, on the first month of the 14 days, the 14th days, right? It could be the feast can be on the certain day of the month. But always Sabbath is important for the children of Israelite. But here say the day after the Sabbath. I believe the rabbis cannot explain why the Lord, God asked them to do this on the day after Sabbath. But now we know, right? It you know, thousands of years later, there's a day, you know, Jesus Christ died, and died on this day of, you know, Passover. Right? And then 3 days later is the day after Sabbath.
Right.
And this is the day he resurrected. Is that very amazing? You know, God already planned this, you know, before the foundation of the world.
And,
but the children of God, children of Israel, may not see this. But today we see this. You know, the day after Sabbath, this is the day for his resurrection. And I think I just want to emphasize one thing. This, all this feast is not for us to learn just knowledge. You know, the burden of this message, we need to be experiencing his resurrection every day.
Amen.
So this feast will become the reality of us.
Amen.
So I feel like we all really touched something really sweet, especially with regards to the view that the Father has for the Son and how much of a delight the Son is in the Father's eyes. So day two was actually, when I was going over this, I just suddenly found this so sweet. Like, it was such a basic thing, how that the Son satisfies the Father. And so it says, as Eric mentioned, in John 20:17, it says, the Lord, he says that he wants to preserve the freshness of his resurrection and his ascension for the Father alone. So that shows that Christ satisfies the Father in his ascension. But even before that, there's on the bottom on today's reading, it says, if God had not been satisfied with Christ's offering for us, how could God have raised him from the dead? So then, suddenly it touched me. We have the hope and the assurance. We can confidently say that we have been redeemed and that we have been justified because the Lord satisfied the Father. And so really it's just a matter of we know that God is satisfied with who Christ is. And if we see how the Father views Christ, then we no longer need to doubt in anything. We have the full assurance that Christ has done everything. And as long as we offer him to the Father, we are now in the Son and we share all the enjoyment of the Son. And so I just found that really sweet.
Amen.
We enjoy this matter of laboring on Christ. And with that, there's a sentence here. You know, we really need to learn how to present Christ to the Father, right, before we can even have any enjoyment. But here, this sentence says, we unknowingly and unintentionally deprive ourselves of the experience and enjoyment of Christ in resurrection being dispensed into us because we neglect the presenting of the first fruits to the Father. So this really touched me, that we really need to learn, you know, we need to learn how to present Christ to the Father. And this is a matter of experience, and it's a matter of laboring. This matter of laboring, you know, on the good land is that we learn to experience him, that we really be nourished in the Word, exercise our spirit, because we become what we eat. And so if we eat him as our faithfulness, you know, as our enjoyment, as our kindness, you know, then we become those things. And this morning I realized that I wasn't any of those things, and because I haven't eaten those things in the Lord. So in order to be kind, I have to eat his kindness. Amen. I have to eat his joy. I have to eat what he is, because by eating what he is that I become that. And that is the laboring. That is the laboring on Christ, that we don't know. We don't know how much of Christ is being wrought in our being. We don't really know. So see, you know, in reality, the produce of the good land could be the pomegranates, you know, the olive trees, the precious stones. All of these things that are being wrought in our being, and they're unbeknownst to us. And so this ultimate enjoyment gives us the remembrance, which is the matter of the booths. How much do we live on this earth uprooted, or how much do we really live in booths, you know, waiting for the city which has the foundations, you know, that Abraham was awaiting for. You know, where I live, there's a lot of Jewish people, and they have those booths. They put them out, and I was, you know, so many of them. And but of course, it's a physical thing. But the fact is, how much am I uprooted to the earth? How do I really live in a booth? You know, and so that means that by laboring on the Lord, I would let go of these things that I hold on to. That I would just let it go. Just let it go. You know, the Apostle Paul, he became a drink offering, which is an offering that is poured on top of all the other offerings. It's a cheering wine that he just poured his whole being. So in other words, he was not rooted. He just poured himself, the drink offering, that he was willing to be nothing for the sake of the Lord. And that only comes from enjoying the Lord, becoming what he is.
Amen.
Amen. So I like your fellowship. Is you know, for when I read this Bible words. So the two things is, one, we need to God is leading us, you know, in every aspect, you know, our lives. So even though we should not be occupied by all our, you know, worldly duties, but we still need to, you know, let God leading us. Like, for example, this week I faced a decision, very simple, because I accept an invitation. It's an informal invitation from the new head of our programming group. And I accepted about a month ago. And that day happened to be, the forecast said it was very, very cold. So I usually to take care of my family, you know, here, to my best. But on that morning, I thought, should I go? If I go, I have to leave early. So I'll let my wife take care of, you know, kids, and it's very cold, you know, and we happen to don't have enough, the boys don't have any longer winter jacket, because we don't have time to buy it. So I almost sent an email to reject, to say, but it's just my feeling is saying no, because I accepted. And then that new manager will fly back to France. So I'm one of the members, even though I'm a tiny member, but I'm still a member. So I pray, it's just the one single thought. So I just don't cancel it. I say I'm going to go, you know, and also I tell my wife and kids, let them prepare. So the next morning, the Thursday morning, it turned out to be not that cold. Even though the temperature is low, but it's, you know, but anyway, I go. So I joined the team, you know, it's kind of just, a, you know, talk, but I'm kind of one member and to, as a, you know, so that's fulfill my, you know, my work duties, but I do it. So this simple thing is, everything we do is not just merely taking care of things. The spirit, the inside us will guide us. Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
I'll just share a little bit. I just love this ministry.
Amen.
For a long time, I was in the denomination, got nothing. Then I came to this recovery, and I just, this ministry is just wonderful.
Amen.
You know, on day two, I just enjoyed this verse so much and the message with it. You know, John 20:17, on day two, Jesus said to her, "Do not touch me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I ascend to my Father and your Father, and my God and your God." And that very moment, Christ still had his body. He had just been resurrected. The Spirit was not yet. He hadn't ascended. But he called to us, my brothers. Is my brothers and my brothers, and then he said, "My Father and your Father,
yeah.
My God and your God."
Wow.
So already then, we were brought into becoming sons of God,
wow.
Children of God. It's just amazing. And then the text below that says, "On the day of his resurrection, the Lord ascended to the Father." This was a secret ascension, the ultimate fulfillment of the going predicted in John 16:7. It occurred 40 days prior to his public ascension, which took place before the eyes of the disciple. On the day of resurrection, early in the morning, he ascended to satisfy the Father, and later in the evening, he returned to the disciples. The freshness of his resurrection must be first to the Father's enjoyment, as in the type the first fruits of the harvest were brought first to God. You know, since I just really was touched by this very much. And also, you know, I'm always touched by this verse because it is through loving Christ. Remember, Mary was the first one to see the Lord after his resurrection.
Yeah.
And you have to think, why her? Because her love for the Lord was so deep.
Yes.
You know? I'm not a feminist, you know, or this is a woman that first saw a sister, not a brother. But we have to realize it is loving the Lord.
Amen.
Loving him. She saw him before he ascended, and I remember Juan Cangas was sharing this. It was in a radio. You know, I listen to LSM radio after before. As soon as I come here, after I leave Shanghai, I come here. I right away listen to it, and I heard Brother Juan Cangas share on this that there was something going on between among the triune God, because he should not have, Mary should not have been able to see him, because he. She loved him so much, he said to her, "Mary, you know, I need to go. You know, this is so he said something to her, you know, in that sense. Thank you for this ministry.
Amen.
Amen.
next week will be on the Jubilee. And so this matter of feasting, it was said earlier, probably like last week, that these feasts were for nothing but rest and enjoyment. And they're Jehovah's appointed feasts. And actually, the children of Israel, when they were in captivity, and then no one would care about the appointed feast anymore. And they'll remember, they'll be like, oh, we remember Jehovah's appointed feast, but now we just pass them over because it's captivity. And in the Psalms, Psalm 137, they say, you know, by the rivers of Babylon, we wept and we remember Zion. And then our captors would mock us and be like, sing us one of the songs of Zion. And they're like, how can we sing the songs of Jehovah in a foreign land? And Psalm 126, it says, when Jehovah turned again our captivity, we were like those who dream. And the children of Israel, they, when they were in captivity, they remembered the rejoicing, the shouting and the jubilee, the feasting when they were in Zion. And it shows that now that we're in the New Testament and Christ has become the reality of all of these feasts, it's like, what are we waiting for? We don't have enough of a view. We don't see clear enough what it is that God has prepared it all and that He wants us to rejoice before Him, that He has appointed feasts. And so this week, I really like the Feast of the First Fruits, that Christ in His resurrection, first in His secret ascension to the Father, satisfies God. And then the sheaf of first fruits that we wave for our acceptance. And it's a sheaf because not just Christ, also the saints that were raised
Amen.
In His crucifixion,
Amen.
And also the church as His body in
Amen.
Resurrection.
Amen.
And then this matter of Christ in His resurrection, He's able to be dispensed into us.
Amen.
He's, in His resurrection, He's able to become our food and our mutual satisfaction.
Amen.
What we can offer to God.
Amen.
On the ground of oneness, in Mount Zion, in Jehovah's appointed feast, where we can eat and drink to our heart's content.
Amen.
And it fulfills God's desire.
Amen.
That in captivity, this is what the children of Israel remember, that their times rejoicing before the Lord.
Amen.
So we just need a clearer view to see what God has done, that we're able to eat and drink and rejoice before Him.
Amen.
I appreciated the sentence here, day one. It says, the resurrected Christ, the fresh Christ in His resurrection, was first to be enjoyed by God. This is the first fruits, and the first fruits are for God's enjoyment. Then the resurrected Christ becomes our enjoyment with God and one another. And I just appreciated the fresh Christ and His resurrection. And I just, listening to this message, I just appreciated, on one hand, I really appreciate that in His resurrection, Christ is now able to be enjoyed by us.
Amen.
But what we see, that Christ is also the first fruit. And so, I think sometimes we stop at that. We stop at, oh, I need to enjoy Christ. But we have to see that actually we need to enjoy Christ as the first fruits. And the first fruits are for God's satisfaction.
Amen.
And my prayer is just, Lord, teach me, you know, in my daily walk with You, in my enjoyment of You, how to enjoy You as the first fruits, not for my own satisfaction, but for the Father's satisfaction.
Amen.
And I just appreciate it, you know. It was first to the Father, and then it was to all of us. And so may we go on in our enjoyment of Christ. To not only enjoy Him as the life-giving Spirit, but as the life-giving Spirit for the satisfaction of the Father.
Amen.
And I also enjoyed just one other small thing. It said 1 Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians 15, we see that Christ is the first fruits, the second man, and the last Adam.
Amen.
And so when we put all three of these things together, we see that Christ is the first, the second, and the last.
Amen.
So we see that Christ is everything.
Amen.
So today we can enjoy Christ as our everything because He's the first fruits, the second man, and the last Adam.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. I used to have a friend in a previous work who believes in very deeply in other religion. And one time he started coming to me and try to see whether I can be converted or whatever. So he told me that based on the fact that Jesus died, but his body was stolen. So there is no resurrection, right? And so I thought that's interesting, but the Bible clearly says that he resurrected, and there was evident that even there was a witness by the name of Mary. And it says, it's not just me, the Jew also said that, right? Because he's obviously he's a Muslim. And so when we were talking about it, I kind of realizing how much do I really know? Is it just based on the Bible and based on the New Testament and so forth? But today's message clearly tells us, because I know even for the fact that all Christian belief is in this matter of resurrection, right? Not Jesus died, but Jesus died and resurrected. If you don't believe that Jesus died and resurrected, then clearly your Christian belief is in question, right?
Amen.
But here it's clearly tell us that why it is, because he is the first fruit.
Amen.
This is very crucial, because the first fruit, as he has to be the first fruit, not for us, but for God, to be justified and acceptable to God.
Amen.
Without him resurrected, without him being the first fruit,
yes,
meaning that he's not justified, he's been rejected, and he's not been accepted by God. This is very crucial. That is the difference between Christian and other religion. We believe that he died and resurrected.
Amen.
Right? This is a fact. And we need to see this clearly.
Amen.
The second thing is, because he resurrected, it's not about blood, it's about eating. He now can be eaten because his meat can be eaten by us. So his resurrection becomes an enjoyment to us as well.
Amen.
Christ died and resurrected. Without him resurrected, there's no way for us to enjoy him in reality.
Amen.
There's no way for us to enjoy him in practicality.
Amen.
That is why Christian belief is very crucial, to know that he is resurrected. Not just in an objective way or doctrinal way, but also in a subjective way. We need to realize this. We need to enjoy him day by day.
Amen.
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 Enjoy that Christ, his death is for delivering us from our offenses, and but his resurrection is for us to be justified by God. When he resurrected from the death, we also resurrected with him, according to the verse from Ephesians 1:20. He say, the verse say, Christ as the first fruit resurrected is the firstborn from the dead, that he might be the head of the body. So the factor is that he become the head of the body because of his resurrection. So that's why we say, that's why the message is saying when he resurrected, the body also resurrected with him.
Amen.
Today, the Christ is the first fruit. He became the first fruit to be God's satisfaction, enjoyment. He also became a life-giving because his resurrection, he became the consummated, the automatic the life-giving spirit dwelling in us. So we enjoy Christ with God, and we enjoy Christ with one another. We enjoy Christ with one another.
That's why the body can be the fullness of God.
Amen.
Amen. I also enjoy the sharing about our daily life. Also, we need to experience Christ in every situation. That's how we enjoy the Christ, not just in the doctrine. We need to labor on Christ. So this Christ can be so rich to us, not in the doctrine way, but in our experiencing way. We need to let Christ become our reality. That is feast, that our enjoyment of the feast become our reality in our daily life.
Amen. I really appreciate this training because I was poisoned by the you know, those Christianity and Catholic, those religion. I always think like even Jewish, I know them very well. After the Passover, supposed to come to the Easter, so I always waiting for the Easter. But really, in God's eye, there's no Easter here. I try to remember. I say, wow, the first one is the Feast of Passover. The second one is the Feast of Unleavened Bread. What's the third one? I always not pay attention. But this time, thank you for this training. The third one is the Feast of First Food. But I don't really know the First Food. I'm waiting for the Easter. And the fourth is the Feast of Passover. And five is the Feast of Blowing the Trump. And the sixth is the Feast of Expectation. Amen? Expectation. Amen? Amen? Amen. The last one is the Feast of Tabernacle.
Amen.
Be honest, without this training, I didn't know that really meaning of the first fruit. I didn't really know. Thank you for this training. A special point, the very important verse from Paul sharing the 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We know chapter 15 talk about a lot of a resurrection. I never put together. Wow, the resurrection and the first food. What does it? What's the real? Thank you for this ministry. Bring that verse, very important verse, day one. He said, but now Christ has been raised from the dead.
Amen.
Wow, resurrect. Amen. Wow, the first fruit of those. The first fruits of those who have been fallen asleep. Oh, hallelujah.
Amen.
Put the first fruit. And after the resurrection, hallelujah! I thank you for this training.
Amen.
But then this week, I was kind of afraid to come to this message, but the Lord showed me a practical way about the Feast of Pentecost. And in the Feast of Pentecost, so this week I was reading the basic elements of the Christian life. And actually I came across calling on the name of the Lord. And here it says that although many are familiar with Joel's prophecy regarding the Holy Spirit, not many have paid attention to the fact that receiving the outpoured Holy Spirit requires our calling on the name of the Lord.
Amen.
And so actually, at the Feast of the Pentecost, that's when the early believers started to call on the name of the Lord.
Amen.
And that's when, you know, we know that the Lord Jesus, He not only died, but He resurrected, and He was exalted. And in Acts 2:32-33, it says that having received the promise of the Holy Spirit from the Father, he has poured out this which you both see and hear. And so this week, I realized that, you know, our Christ has become, he's not only a first fruit, he's not only the satisfaction to God, but right now he's raised, he's exalted, and he's now the outpoured Spirit, now coming to dwell in our spirit. And for us to cooperate with him, for us to actually enjoy such a feast, we need to call on his name. Because it says that this outpouring needs the cooperation of our calling of him. And so I enjoy that. Like this week, I just enjoyed that. Even though, like, I don't really understand, but actually, we have such a Christ, and he has become such a spirit, the life-giving spirit, outpoured into our spirit for us to enjoy and just call upon him.
Amen. I was very touched by brothers and sisters sharing. Actually, I think that this is also consistent with our Friday meeting's reading with regard to eating. You know, when we talk about feasts, Brother Tom mentioned about seven feasts, right? Mm-hmm. Actually, I think in the messages, I think we only talk about like four or five. And I appreciate that Brother Tom mentioned about the sixth one. You know, I think in Exodus, when Israelites they experienced the Passover, they were actually in the wilderness. They had food, they had mannas, but then those food were from heaven. You know, they did have to labor, but I have to say labor a little bit because they just need to pick the mannas, right?
Right.
But then in a good land, I think that's a totally different story. You know, I also appreciate Eric mentioned about that word labor, because usually we would not link the enjoyment and labor together. I don't know if you would, because every day I go to work, I consider myself laboring a lot. But you know, for those of you work, do you really have full enjoyment of work? You know, but then I think it's the Lord's wisdom to put these two together. And I think that is really part of that is our Christian living. Because from the first week, first month, I have to say first month, the four feasts, right? And the second, the last three feasts, they were in July. So what happened between you know, the first four feasts and the last three feasts? There's a long period. What do we do? We actually labor. We labor and we contact the Lord. We enjoy, contact Him. And I was also touched that this is actually not an individual thing. This is actually a corporate thing, and this is really related to our daily living. And yesterday, I was bothered by something, and I was really, really bothered, you know, and then I think that when we are not in the Lord, we were so easily to get offended, and that's related to our speaking. And sometimes, you know, when we are not in the Lord, when people talk to us, we got offended. But sometimes when people are not in the Lord, you know, then they are easily to get offended. So we are really together as a group so that we can enjoy the Christ together. I think that we really should not think that, oh, you know, I can just enjoy the Lord. I don't care about other people. I just, you know, hide in my home. And but now it's a new technology, you know, era, right? You can see Facebook, you can see, you know, everybody's sharing. But then I think we did not pay much attention that sometimes our speaking really affect other people's enjoyment of the Lord. I think we don't have that you know, that feeling, that sense about brothers and sisters, that we are here to go through the journey together. May the Lord have mercy on us. I hope that we can grow in the Lord together.
Amen.
And I'm speaking this, you know, to myself, and Kyle and Eric know that I was, praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord, saints. Hallelujah for the Feast of the First Fruits. This is a really precious matter to God's heart. And a lot of us already covered, even considered the details of this feast. But when you consider this, you need to realize, and it might be helpful sometimes to ask a few questions. For example, this feast, who is eating? Who is eating? God. God is eating. Do we have a realization that God needs to eat and that God needs to be satisfied? Let me just read some of these verses under this section. Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you come into the land which I am giving you and reap its harvest, then you shall bring the sheaf of the firstfruits of your harvest to the priest. Now skip two verses, go to 13. An offering by fire to Jehovah for a satisfying fragrance. An offering to Jehovah for a satisfying fragrance. The first fruit is an offering to Jehovah that satisfies Him. When we consider this matter of the first fruit, I think it's very helpful to even just see humanly. Suppose we are all part of this farm. Maybe we're all wheat here. We're all sitting here as wheat sheaves, okay? And God is the farmer. What the first fruit is that among all of us, there are a few first fruit. What do? They ripen early. They ripen first. Because they're mature. They're mature early. And I just want to point out something. All of us were part of the harvest. We saw that, right? We're all part of the harvest. All of the genuine believers, all of the Christians from the past, present, future, we're all part of this great harvest. But there are a few. There are a precious few that are the first fruits. And they ripen, they mature early, and they are taken first. And they become a satisfaction to God.
Amen.
What is your response when you consider this? You know, when I first heard something like this, inwardly, I was just burning within. Lord, I want to be such. What an honor, what a privilege that we can be the first fruits in this day and age. I heard this as a senior. Maybe it was spoken before, but it really, you know, it was very clear to me. In the winter training, in my senior year, the training on Revelation, how we can be such ones, the first fruits, to satisfy God. So, I want to bring in something very practical. it's not a question of whether or not we will satisfy. At one day, all of us, you don't think that in the New Jerusalem, God will be satisfied? He will be happy?
Yes.
No doubt about it. He's waiting for that day. But guess what? There's something before that. Something that we all have an opportunity to be a part of. To become the first fruits for His satisfaction. So it's not whether or not we will satisfy God. It's a matter of when. It's entirely a matter of when. We all one day will be ripened and fully mature. But it's a matter of when. Is it in this day? In this age? In the allotment of time that God has given to each and every one of us? Is it right now? Do we seize the opportunity? And I'm so glad we brought out the sharings from regarding Mary. What did Mary do? She seized the opportunity. You don't think that experience of Christ as He was ascending to, and I really appreciate our sister sharing, that was different from the other disciples. That was so fresh. And it, you know, when you read that verse, it's almost that, you know, you see two things. Number one, the Lord reveals Himself as the first fruit. He is there to ascend to the Father for His satisfaction. But then it's like, you know, He says, don't touch me. But then it's like He's convicted because there's a seeker here who wanted to love Him so much. And so He's like, okay, Mary, don't touch me. But guess what? You are now my brother. I am going to my God. But guess what? Your God, my Father and your Father. So on one hand, He's like, don't touch me, Mary. I'm here to satisfy the Father. But, oh, I just want to share this with you because I honor your seeking. And again, when she poured out the flask of alabaster, that was seizing the opportunity. Mary did not care about her past. He did not care about her present, about her future. She just took that opportunity to pour out that nard, which is a composition, it's an accumulation of all the precious experiences of Christ, the hidden things, the deep things that maybe no one will know about, no one would understand. These things that have been stored up that is meant for God's satisfaction, that was poured upon such a one, and the room filled with such a fragrance. So brothers and sisters, do we have a desire to be the first fruits for God's satisfaction? Then we need to love the Lord today. We need to have a living that satisfies God today. We need to experience Christ, not just for ourselves. Sometimes, you know, I'm convicted of this too. It's, you know, Lord, I need you because I need a little strengthening. Lord, I need you because I need a little grace or whatever. But do we have the consideration that my enjoyment, my experience of Christ is ultimately for God's satisfaction?
Amen.
If we see this, then I believe it will really revolutionize the way that we live and the way that we serve in the church life.
Amen.
And then I'll just touch a little bit about the Feast of the Tabernacle. It was mentioned that this is a matter of our laboring. And it is true. We need to be those who labor on Christ as the good land. This is different from the open manna that was given to the children of Israel. That was free. You know, you just, all you have to do is just wake up and go out and gather. There's not much laboring. But when we enter into the good land, right, we need to labor. We need to experience Christ in so many different aspects of our daily living. That is to labor. So as we're driving, we need to experience Christ. As we're in school, we need to experience Christ. As we live with others, we need to experience Christ. Every aspect of our living, we need to labor on Christ. We need to enjoy Him. We need to experience Him so that we could really bring forth the full, the ultimate enjoyment of Christ, right, as the Feast of the Tabernacle. And then it's very interesting that as we're journeying and we're laboring in such a way, it's a period of 7 days, it's very complete. It says that we are those who live in booths. A booth is a temporary dwelling place. And I just want to read you this verse in Hebrews 8, 9. This is Abraham's experience. By faith, he dwelt as a foreigner in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, making his home in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the fellow heirs of the same promise. For he eagerly awaited for the city, who has a foundation, whose architect and builder is God. This needs to be our realization. We are not here making a home in this world, being occupied by so many different things. But as we journey in this land and we experience Him in so many different ways, we realize that we are just tent dwellers. Okay. We are not set, we are not occupied, we're not settled, but we're just awaiting for that future city. And it's interesting to see that these booths are made with the olive oil and the palm trees, which signifies the Spirit, the anointing Spirit. But the trees, the olive tree, is a symbol of the victorious and nourishing Christ. And so we go through things in life, hardships, persecution, things that people cannot understand. And as we experience Christ in such a way, we display the victorious Christ who has worked Himself into the deepest fiber in our being. And this will become a remembrance, a certain testimony for eternity.
Amen.
So, brothers and sisters, what a hope. What a glorious hope.
Amen.
We can be His people.
Amen.
We can enjoy Him.
Amen.
As all these feasts.
Amen.
We can enjoy Him as the feast of the first fruits.
Amen.
For God's satisfaction and delight.
Amen.
We enjoy Him as the feast of the tabernacle. As those living in these tents. And we're those who are awaiting for that one day. The new Jerusalem.
Amen.
Where we will dwell with Him and He with us for eternity.
Amen.
Hallelujah for the feast!
Amen.
We are a feasting people.
Amen.
And we're here to hold a feast for God's satisfaction.
Amen.
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 Great to experience you.
Amen.
Day by day.
Amen.
Oh, you are the good land.
Amen.
I want to labor on you to experience you and enjoy you.
Amen.
So there's something to offer to you.
Amen.
Offer to God.
Amen.
That's food and satisfying.
Amen.
Pray for this Lord.
Amen.
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 For
you
all
feet.
Amen.
For you
day by day.
Amen.
Until
eternity.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Lord, grant us this aspiration.
Amen.
Lord, we want to rest early.
Amen.
For your satisfaction.
Amen.
Lord, make us the overcomer.
Amen.
The first fruit.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Strengthen our daily living.
Amen.
You as the resurrected Christ.
Amen.
In every aspect of our living.
Amen.
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 While we were coming back from India, you know, we had to go through this immigration
at the JFK airport. It was like really tough when we entered into the airport. At the port of entry, you know, the immigration officers, made us to sit in the office for quite a long time, you know, because our service got terminated. And we were literally, you know, buried. I mean, I was crying, you know, in my heart. Lord, let me go through this, you know, and then, you know, they had to call to the college, you know, they had to get another service for her. Eventually, you know, we went through the immigration world, and it was glorious to God. I went back to India, like, in February, and, you know, my parents know their family, like, for almost 30 years. So, her parents, you know, all her grandparents, parents, and all her ancestors, you know, they were, like, born and brought up in a Christian family. So, they were all Christians, they're all Christians, you know, they love the Lord. They have no other gods. And all her parents are into, like, doctors, you know. They're, like, in very superior positions back in India. And she's, like, she got baptized. She's, like, born again.
Amen. Hallelujah.
My parents, you know, introduced me to her. And we got married in June, in the month of
October. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
But I wanted to get her to the United States. I'm so thankful to God, you know, for all my past and you know, for all the journey. And in my marriage life, you know, I want to put God, you know, we want to put God, you know, center of our family.
Amen.
And we want God as to lead us, you know, it's not me or her. We want God to take care of her, take care of us. And, you know, we want God to, you know, be the center of our family.
Amen.
And let all the glory to be God.
Amen. Hallelujah.
When I spoke to her, you know, about this church, when I met her back in India, she was kind of like excited. I mentioned about, you know, Brother Kyle and Tom, you know, some other brothers of the church. So she just wanted to, you know, like, I mean, she was like looking forward to, you know, get in touch with the church and plug into the church.
Amen.
I'm so glad, you know, God brought us here. And all the glory to God.
Amen.
Her name is Sweetie. You can
Sweetie.
Call her Sweetie, yes.
Amen. Sweetie. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. She has done her M-Pharmacy back in India. So right now, I mean, she's with me. And I'm so thankful to God.
Amen. Hallelujah.
And I'm also thankful to all the church members for all your support, your prayers, and your love towards us.
Amen.
Thank you so much.
Amen.
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 Praise Lord.
Right. Amen. Pray for this new family.
Amen.
Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
May your name be glorified.
Amen.
On this couple, Lord.
Amen.
Bless them.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for this family.
Amen.
Lord, continue to walk with them.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, bring them to the household of God.
Amen.
Lord, they are the members of the body.
Amen.
Lord, we welcome them, Lord.
Amen.
Oh, as they have life, so we do have life.
Yes.
Lord, how much we love you.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes. Thank you for this family.
Amen.
Continue to lead them and guide them, Lord.
Amen.
Lead our brother and guide him, Lord.
Amen.
Lord, to bring the family to blend into the church life.
Amen.
Oh, thank you for them, Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Right. Make home in their heart.
Amen.
In the center of their family.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Also make you as their dwelling place.
Amen.
Right. Family to you.
Amen.
They will know you more.
Amen.
Experience you more.
Amen.
Oh, we love you.
Amen.
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 Amen. That's right.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.